Amen. Turn with me in the Word of God this evening, please, to the book of Psalms and Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Thank you for your invitation along to share the Word of God with you throughout today. Thank you to John and Mrs. Henry for their hospitality, for feeding me, giving me a good feed, and then walking it off me afterwards. I thought we'd walked a lot further, because we were walking along away up in the mountains, and we're up at the top of a mountain, and I looked and I saw a flag, and it was an Israeli flag. And I thought, well, I didn't think I'd walk quite that far. But there you go. It was certainly nice to get out into the beauty of God's creation around about us, and away from it all, as it were. We're coming tonight to look again at David. It was only sort of towards the end of the week that it really hit me that both my sermons were on David this morning, as I was today as I was looking at them. But this is a different angle from this morning, and I want us to look at this psalm and the background of it. Psalm 55. It's a psalm of David. I really want to just at the start read verse 22. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now there's a wee verse, you don't need to look it up. I'm sure most of you know it off by heart in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's just ask God to open our hearts to what he wants to say to us this evening. Father, I do just pray that by your Spirit you would take these simple thoughts. By your Spirit you would minister into our lives. That you would show us tonight that Jesus cares for me, for us. And Lord, that we would realize afresh that you are the great burden bearer. The great burden bearer. Amen. Some of you, I know your names. None of you I know very particularly well at all. But there's one thing I do know. That in your life, there are burdens. In your life, there are burdens. We live in a world that's full of trouble, full of difficulty, because it is a fallen world. I read again and again of Adam and Eve in that garden. Adam and Eve enjoying the work that God had given them to, walking with him in the cool of the evening, hearing his voice, experiencing his presence. And then sin came, and the curse of sin. And that curse has worked its way out into every facet of life around about us. And it affects us in so many different ways. And sin brings a burden into our lives, a burden into our families, a burden into our situations, a burden into our community, a burden into our world. But Jesus Christ is the great burden bearer. He came to set the captive free. He came to deliver those who were bound by sin, to bring us from darkness into light. And he is the great compassionate Savior. He says, a smouldering flax, he says, I'll not quench, a bruised reed, I will not break. He is so gentle, so kind in his working with us. And sometimes as Christians, or those who call themselves Christians, we can be harsh and we can be judgmental. Jesus kept his judgment for the religious people. Those who said they were something that they were not. Those who were the only ones that Jesus judged. He didn't condemn the sinner. He forgave the sinner and said, go and sin no more. I don't know what your burden is tonight, but in Psalm 55, we see that David was a man with a burden. A man with a burden. And David's burden in this psalm was twofold. We mentioned this morning that David had a dysfunctional family. And one of his sons, Absalom, had risen up in rebellion against David. David had been king for many years. And now Absalom is saying, I should be king. I want my father gone. I want my father off the throne. I want my father dead. And I want to be king in this place. So here's David the father. And he's looking at his family. And he's looking at this son Absalom. And this son Absalom is rising up in rebellion against him. How that must have grieved his heart. How it must have broken his heart. Because he loved Absalom. Even after Absalom tried to do so much against him. When the news came of Absalom's death, he cried, oh Absalom, Absalom. He loved him. So here's David, and his son is in rebellion against him. Dear friend tonight, remember your burden is your family, a family situation, a family difficulty, and it weighs in heavily upon you. A wayward son or a daughter, a broken relationship within a family circle, something in the family that's creating such a great burden tonight. But not only was Absalom in rebellion, David had another situation he was dealing with here. For David had a friend, and this friend was called Ahithophel. If you want to argue with me about that pronunciation, you're quite welcome to come up and try it for yourself. But I'm going to call him Ahithophel. Read about him, I think it's in 2 Samuel chapter 17. And Ahithophel was one of David's closest friends. David's advisors, counselors. And Ahithophel had thrown his lot in with Absalom. Read there in 2 Samuel 17 and verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with me shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so that all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Now come with me back here to Psalm 55. And here we read in verse 12. It says, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hateth me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou. Here David speaking of Ahithophel, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and walked unto the house of God in company. And here David saying, this man, not an enemy, not someone that hates me, but my friend, my equal. We even went to church together. We spoke of the things of God together. But now you have turned upon me. And isn't it true that it's those who are closest to us that hurt us the greatest, hurt us more than anyone else? And here's David. And he's this great distress that's upon him. Absalom rebellion. Absalom, David's son. We touched this morning on David's sin that he committed. And because of that sin, just the problems that he had within his family. And remember the prophecy that had come to David at that time. Remember what had been said. Let's try to find the passage here. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 10. When Nathan the prophet came, he said to David, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because it has despised me, and has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." See, David sinned. And David repented of that sin. And David was forgiven of that sin. But David lived till his dying day with the consequences of that sin. And what David was suffering right here was a consequence of that sin. For Nathan the prophet had prophesied that his son, his family, that the sword would never depart from it. And here's Absalom in rebellion against him. Speaking a couple of months ago to a man that used to be an alcoholic for many years, but God gloriously saved him and set him free. But brokenly he shared with me that his family wanted nothing to do with him. His son and his daughter wanted nothing to do with him. Because of the pain, because of the situations that he had put them through in the past, in his unsaved days. The barrier, the relationship was broken and wasn't healing. See, sometimes there's consequences of sin. And what about Ahithophel? Who was he? Well, if we turn to right to the end of 2 Samuel, we read there, I think it's in chapter 23 and verse 34, of Eliam, the son of Ahithophel. And Eliam was one of David's mighty men. Ahithophel had a son called Eliam. But Eliam had a daughter. And the name of that daughter was Bathsheba. And here was this man. And he had seen what King David had done to his granddaughter and his granddaughter's family. How he had stepped in and destroyed that family unit. And the picture that we get in Scripture is that all through the years, he was there by David's side. He was pretending to be a friend. He was giving him a counsel. But inside, he was eaten up with bitterness. He was eaten up with unforgiveness. And he was biding his time until he could get his revenge for what David had done to his family. Friends, unforgiveness is a terrible burden to have to bear. Not that you have to bear it, you choose to bear it. Wonder tonight, are you struggling with a bitter spirit, with unforgiveness? You've been wronged in the past. There's no question of that. What was done to you was wrong. But you're holding on to a bitterness and an unforgiveness over what was done to you instead of letting it go. Last summer, I read a beautiful illustration of unforgiveness in a book by a man by the name of Mikey Kelly. Mikey Kelly says that bitterness is like this. He says it's like having a rat in your house. So it was mentioned this afternoon of somebody having mice. But having a rat in your house. And so you want to get rid of this rat. So you go down to the farm supply shop and you ask him for the strongest poison that he's got. And you bring that poison home. And you sit down at the kitchen table and you open it up. And you begin to eat it yourself. Waiting for the rat to die. That's what unforgiveness is. It eats us. And it does no harm to the person that we're bitter against. Here Ahithophel seemingly was full of unforgiveness. And what a sad end. Because on in 2 Samuel chapter 17 we read that he committed suicide. That bitterness totally and utterly destroyed him. And it does totally and utterly destroy us. when we carry it, when we hold on to it. Now here in Psalm 55, David is going through this time of burden and distress. In verse 4 he says, "My heart is sore pained within me." His heart was broken. His heart was sore because of what was happening. He says, "The terrors of death are falling upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." Here he is. He's pressed down. He's trembling, he's shaking, he's overwhelmed. He says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." He wished he could just fly away and leave all his problems behind. We can feel like that sometimes, can't we? Only I could fly away and escape all these difficulties, it would be wonderful. I was working with a young fella back at the start of the year. He had many, many problems. And we sought to encourage him and help him and help him work through those problems. But he took this into his head that he just wanted to get away from them. And so he did. He got on a plane, he went to India. But the money ran out. And he had to come back to those problems again. And when he came back and away, they were worse than when he had gone. So we can't run away. We wish we could fly away, but we can't. And then right down at the end of this psalm, David comes to a conclusion. David comes to a point where he says, "This is what I need to do with my burden." And this is what he is telling us that we need to do with our burdens. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Now how that verse just reminds us of the New Testament that we read earlier, 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." He cares for you. Jesus cares for you. There's a man by the name of Charles Frederick Wengel in a difficult period in his life. He was an evangelist. He had given his life to serving God. But his wife wasn't in that place of full surrender to God that he was. And she couldn't handle that evangelist lifestyle. Always on the move, here, there, and everywhere. And finally she came to him and put an ultimatum to him. "Either you stop being an evangelist, or I will leave you." Well, he wouldn't give up his calling. He wouldn't give up preaching the gospel from place to place. And so his wife, I think it was two girls of a family they had, she left him and took those girls with her. And in the midst of that dark despair, he penned these words, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above." We can rest assured in this tonight that no one ever cared for you and no one ever cared for me like Jesus. If we doubt that, look at the cross. Look at our Savior dying for me. Dying for me. Dying for you on that cross. Because he loves you. This is the one who cares for you. And this is the one who says, cast all your care on me. Cast all your care on me. It says cast back in Psalm 55. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. It says cast in 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him. And friends, that's a very descriptive an active word. I don't know whether there's anybody in here does any fishing or not, but I like to do a little fishing when I get a chance and when the weather and circumstances are favourable. And one of the things a fisherman seeks to do in whatever type of fishing he's doing is that if he has a rod and a line and some sort of bait on the end of that line, and he's standing on the bank or sitting in a boat while the fish are in the water, and he wants to get the bait that he has in his hand to the fish in the water in front of them so they'll hopefully bite it and get themselves hooked, and then he can reel them in. There's no point in him sitting in the boat with his bait without casting it out, throwing it out to where the fish are. And so the fisherman takes that bait in whatever form it is, and he actively casts it out to where the fish are. Maybe, in a commercial sense, the fisherman's in the boat, the fisherman is a net. If he keeps the net in the boat, he's never going to catch any fish, is he? He has to take that net and actively throw it over the side, actively cast it out to where the fish are. See, this word cast is an active word. The New Testament talks about casting stones. And if someone has a stone in their hand and they want to cast that stone, what do they have to do? They have to let it go. If they keep it in their hand, that they're not casting it, they have to let it go and release it. And that's what God is saying here, that we need to do with our burdens. And this is the crux of what I want to say to you tonight. Because you have burdens and I have burdens. And Jesus says, I care for you. He says, take that burden and roll it onto me. Cast it onto me. And we can do two things with our burdens tonight. We can walk into that door with our burdens and we can walk out with our burdens. Or we can actively cast our burden upon the Lord and walk out set free from that burden. The circumstance might be the same that we will walk into. The situation might be the same. But we will be walking into it in the strength of God, knowing that he is carrying us through that situation. And what does he promise us? He promises us rest. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be removed. He says, come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friends, the Christian life ought to be a life of rest. Not a life of strife, not a life of struggle, but a life of rest in Christ. Rest in what he has done for us. David found that rest. Psalm 37, the scholars tell us, was written right at the end of David's life. We're not going to take time to read it, but just going to lift a few phrases out of it here and there. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. In verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. How we need to grasp that in our society of get and get and get more. Verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Verse 34, wait on the Lord. Verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. Because they trust in him. David got himself to a place of rest because he cast that burden upon the Lord. See, friends, if you have a burden tonight, you can tell me all about it. And I can empathize with you perhaps. I can sympathize with you perhaps. Well, I probably have no power to do anything about your burden. But listen to what the prophet Isaiah says. He says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, the Lord, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and the weary and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You have no strength tonight for that burden. Bring it to the one who has all strength and all power. And he will give you strength in the midst of your situation. Again in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 30, we read this verse in verse 15. It says, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, or repentance and rest, shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Then there's these sad words that it adds at the end of this verse. And ye would not. And ye would not. See, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be saved if you repent and have faith in the message of the gospel. If you're here tonight and you're carrying a burden, no matter what that burden is, you can roll it onto Christ tonight. In quietness and in confidence, he shall be your strength. And there's two options. Either you will or you won't. These people in the book of Isaiah, God says, and you would not. But I wonder tonight, will he say of us, but you will, you will. There was a man by the name of John Moore. I believe he was a Canadian by birth. But he was working in Scotland, in Glasgow, in a seaman's mission, working into the docks of Glasgow, into those hardened sailors, seeking to communicate with them the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day he got a message from one of the shipping companies telling of a young sailor who had been badly injured in an accident and was in a hospital. So John Moore went to that hospital and he went to the bedside of that sailor. And there he began to talk with him and he began to share with him the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he found that there was many things in this young sailor's life that he could identify with because he had lived a very similar life before he had trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he reached into the bag that he was carrying to take out a gospel tract to leave with that young sailor. And on the front of that gospel tract, there was a picture. And it was a picture from Pilgrim's Progress. And it was a picture of Pilgrim as he walked along life's journey with a burden on his back. And the burden got heavier and heavier. And one day he met Evangelist. And Evangelist told him if he could only get to the cross, he could get rid of that burden. And so Pilgrim went to the cross. And when he saw the cross, when he looked in faith at the cross, that burden rolled off his back. And down into a hole never to be seen again. And the picture in the front of that tract was a pilgrim looking at the cross and the burden falling off his back. John Muir shared with that young sailor how that burden of sin could be removed if he had looked to the cross and he could be set free. John Muir went home that night to the place where he was staying and he sat down beside his piano. He began to play, he began to think, he was thinking over what had happened that day. He penned these words, "Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today, leave your worry and fear, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Saviour can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near." No, friend, Jesus is near tonight. He's in our midst. There's an old chorus we used to sing, "Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by." If you're not saved tonight, you're going to have that burden of sin taken away. But whatever your burden is tonight, you can leave it with the Lord. You can cast it on Him. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. Do not take that burden tonight to the Lord and leave it there. We're going to sing together that hymn I've just quoted. It's 262 in our books, 262. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. We're just going to keep our seats, just remain seated as we sing this hymn through together. 262, remaining seated as we sing.